ओम ज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपगदां मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरुः श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादां सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। नमो ओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिनि। नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा। Very happy to be back with all of you in the VIHE Vrindavan again. On Tuesday, I spoke about the quality of compassion. I will continue with the same theme today for the benefit of those who were not present last time and to refresh the memory of those who were. I'll briefly speak about what I discussed last time. We started out by mentioning that the quality of compassion indicates a feeling of sympathy for the suffering of other living entities, to feel pain for the pain of others. This is the natural quality of a devotee who, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, is a kind friend to all living entities, who is always compassionate to everyone. Whilst compassion is one amongst the numerous qualities that automatically manifest in the person of a devotee, as indicated by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita on several occasions and also in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada also indicates that these qualities must also be cultivated consciously. In other words, they must be developed by practice. So, the conscious attempt to cultivate qualities like compassion, humility, etc. are also an integral part of the practice of Krishna consciousness. So when we say that by practicing Krishna consciousness, automatically all the good qualities develop, we are referring not only to the basic fundamental practices of hearing and chanting, but also to conscious attempts to develop these qualities in our day-to-day life. So, gradually as we move on, these qualities then develop. And all the qualities that are present in exalted personalities, in the demigods, they also manifest in a devotee. So Arjuna's quality of compassion became apparent at the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita when he was not inclined to fight the battle. Out of compassion for all his compatriots, for all his relatives and friends and so on. I also briefly discussed how Narad Muni advises all of us to discriminate how we deal with various categories of people. For those who are superior, we should feel enlivened and joyful upon seeing them. For those who are equal to us, we should feel a sense of friendship and kinship to them. And for those who are subordinate or not as qualified as we may be, we should feel a sense of kindness and compassion. The materialistic mentality is to feel anger or to deride someone who may not be qualified. But rather, we should feel compassion, and if we follow the formula given by Narad Muni, we will manage to keep ourselves aloof from the suffering that inevitably accompanies material existence. So, I will continue from there on. In the Bhagavad Gita, in the second chapter, Srila Prabhupada also indicates something very important. There are two kinds of compassion. One is the material compassion, that is compassion based on the material body. And the other is real compassion, compassion based on spiritual understanding, compassion for the soul. So Srila Prabhupada has made a very clear distinction between the two. When Arjuna is feeling compassion for his compatriots, for his relatives, Krishna mildly admonishes him and tells him that this kind of weakness of heart is not becoming of him. Because Arjuna is actually a person who is very spiritually cultured and learned, and therefore Arjuna should have known that what he was lamenting for was not worthy of lamenting, and also that by performing his duty according to his nature in Krishna's service and for Krishna's pleasure, he would actually be doing the greatest welfare work. So, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, material compassion, lamentation, tears are all signs of ignorance of the real self. Compassion for the eternal soul is self-realization. And he goes on to say, quote, no one knows where compassion should be applied. Compassion for the dress of a drowning man is senseless. A man fallen in the ocean of nescience cannot be saved simply by rescuing his outward dress, the gross material body. Unquote. So a very important point here. The analogy that we have heard many times in Prabhupada's books and in lectures about a man who is drowning, and then when we go to rescue the man, we only rescue his clothes, and the real man just continues to drown in the water and dies. So similarly, when we try to do good to others, feeling compassion for them, if we look only at the material body and try to do good for the material body and neglect the well-being of the soul, then that is akin or similar to trying to rescue only the dress of a drowning man. Now, certainly, the drowning man is more important than his dress. And the dress is anyway going to get spoilt at some point in time. So similarly, while the material body is important because it is a vehicle, it is an instrument for us to be able to serve Krishna, ultimately it is a soul that needs to be rescued from the tribulations of material existence. So, compassion for the soul, understanding what is good for the soul, is real compassion. So here is the difference between real compassion and misplaced compassion. Now just a brief word here on the material, of, shall we say, bodily suffering that people undergo, especially devotees. So let's first consider devotees. Devotees also have a body, and this body is essential for us to be able to serve Krishna. We all have experience that when we fall sick, then it is hard for us to do not only our various services, but even to do our basic sadhana. When we are feeling extreme pain in the body or some discomfort, we all know that it is not easy to focus the mind on the chanting of the holy names, because our mind forcefully gets drawn to the pain in the body or whatever other discomfort there is in the body or in the mind also. Therefore, it is important that these have to be dealt with. And when we see another devotee undergoing some suffering of the body or mind, we should not take Prabhupada's instructions about the distinction between real suffering and real compassion and misplaced compassion to mean that we should be neglectful or callous about the sufferings of another Vaishnava's body or mind. Because a Vaishnava ultimately is a human being, and a human being has to be seen as a complete whole, where the body, mind and soul are all interconnected and all are being used in the service of Krishna. Therefore, the suffering of the body and mind is not something that is a separate compartment of life, but rather it is all an interconnected whole, an integral whole personality. So therefore, we also make efforts to help the devotee who is feeling some trouble in the mind or in the body. But we do this with the understanding that this is essential for that devotee to render service to Krishna. We do not do this with the understanding that that is an end in itself. And also, when the devotee is assisted to serve Krishna better, then Krishna is pleased. So this is also a kind of Vaishnava Seva. The next question arises, what about compassion to the suffering of those who may not be devotees? What about dealing with the bodily suffering of non-devotees, quote-unquote non-devotees? So yes, one should not get preoccupied in trying to solve the material problems of the people at large by only focusing on the body, because that will be misplaced compassion. But at the same time, if somehow we are bringing them to Krishna consciousness in one way or the other, then that is going to be also very helpful. A devotee is not callous, even though we are unable to see to bring somebody to Krishna consciousness. It is not that we become callous. We still make attempts to somehow or the other be kind to that person so that that person may eventually become amenable to receiving some spiritual knowledge and instructions. So this is a bit of a subtle point that needs some reflection. We see that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur also acted like that, despite the fact that he was the one who actually gave this analogy of the dress of a drowning man. But we see in practical day-to-day examples also that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur did so many things and had so many quotes about how we should treat, you know, people who are just suffering ordinarily in the material world. So this needs a very balanced kind of an approach. So we should neither get sentimental on the material platform and move into completely philanthropic activities which have nothing to do with the soul. On the other hand, we should also not become completely callous to the bodily and mental sufferings of people. Our clear understanding should be that somehow or the other, we should either bring people into Krishna consciousness, or if they're already in Krishna consciousness, then we should do whatever it takes to assist that devotee to make progress in Krishna consciousness. So ultimately, the bottom line is how we can help the upliftment of the soul. And therefore, we have to be very cautious about this in our spiritual practice as well. In the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we see the narration, or we hear about the narration of King Bharat. He was such an exalted devotee. It is explained that he was in the platform of ecstatic love of Krishna, Bhava Bhakti, which is just one stage lesser than Prema Bhakti, the topmost stage of love of Godhead. In Bhava Bhakti, one is almost there, almost, way, way beyond the stage of Sadhana Bhakti. And Maharaj Bharat retired to the Pulaha Ashram, near the Gandaki River. And somehow or the other, by the arrangement of destiny, he came in contact with a baby deer who became orphaned because the mother was pregnant at that time, and she jumped into a river out of fear when she heard the loud roar of a lion. And she delivered the child, the baby, in the water. And Maharaj Bharat was at that time performing his spiritual duties on the bank of the river. And the mother doe, died when she crossed the river. And the baby deer was left unprotected. So feeling compassion for the baby deer, King Bharat retrieved the baby deer from the waters and began to look after the deer with great affection. And as Shukadev Goswami explains, Maharaj Bharat became excessively attached to the deer. He became obsessed with the deer. And he would think about the deer all the time, to such a degree that he became quite neglectful of his spiritual practices. And remember, this is at the stage of Bhava Bhakti. He wasn't just a new Bhakta. He was a very elevated devotee. So Srila Prabhupada mentions that spiritual salvation and liberation from material bondage must be worked out with great caution. Otherwise, even a little discrepancy will create havoc. So here was an example, as Srila Prabhupada says, of a case of being overly compassionate for this infant deer. And he goes on to say, we should be compassionate by raising one from the material platform to the spiritual platform. Bharat Maharaj's compassion for the deer was the beginning of his troubles. Of course, because he was so elevated, in his next life, when he was born as a deer, because when he departed from this body, he was thinking of the deer, so he got the body of the deer in the next life. But being so elevated in the previous life, he was able to remember that existence, and he became quite detached from the deer community. And he went and spent time with the sages, and in the next life he was Jada Bharat, who was a transcendentally realized soul. Normally, according to Bhagavad Gita, a person who has done some devotional service, even a little bit, is assured at least of a birth in a human body where he or she can then continue with devotional service. Neha bhikramanashosti pratyavayo na vidyate svalpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. However, this seems to be an exceptional case, where Bharat Maharaj was not just a neophyte devotee, but he was a very advanced devotee, and still he had to take the body of a deer. But then, by Krishna's mercy, he remembered his previous life and was able to continue his devotional service even in the body of a deer. Anyway, so the point is, misplaced compassion. Many times devotees keep pets in their house, and I always tell them, look, a cat or a dog, this is the modern, you know, custom nowadays. People like to keep animals in the house. Keeping cats and dogs even in India has become very popular now. It's quite risky, because you get so attached to that cat or the dog, and you know, you may become neglectful of spiritual practices. And who knows, at the time of death, you may leave the body thinking of the cat or the dog, and then you may be obliged to become a cat or a dog in the next life. It's quite a risky business. So, therefore, it's always safer to not get into all these things that are not advised by the acharyas. We have examples like that of Maharaj Bharat. So, therefore, one has to be cautious about, you know, the wrong kind of compassion. So, anyway, therefore, Vidura tells Maitreya in the third canto that great souls travel on earth on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead to show compassion to the fallen souls who are averse to the sense of subordination to the Supreme Lord. And in the purport, Prabhupada makes an important point. He says that any action other than devotional service is more or less a rebellious action against the Supreme Lord. And therefore it is that great souls travel all over the world to simply bring people to the lotus feet of the Lord so that eventually they can go home back to Godhead. Now, we see this in the behavior and in the mentality and in the words of great devotees. I'd like to speak briefly about a great associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu whose name was Vasudeva Datta. I'm sure you've all heard of him. And it is said that he is Prahlad Maharaj appeared in Gaur Leela. In the book called the Gaura Ganodesha Deepika, we see Kavi Karnapur explaining that the associates of Krishna in Vraja Leela also appeared in Gaur Leela. And he actually indicates their names, who became what, who in Krishna Leela became who in Gaur Leela. So anyway, Vasudeva Datta was a son of Mukunda Datta. And he was known to be a very, very advanced devotee of the Lord. Incidentally, Vasudeva Datta was the spiritual master of Yadunandan Acharya, who was the Diksha Guru of Raghunath Das Goswami. So, quite a special connection there. And Raghunath Das Goswami, as we all know, has a very special place in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. So, the quality for which we remember Vasudeva Datta the most is his quality of compassion. So, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is described that one time he approached Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and begged for a boon. Mahaprabhu was very fond of him, so fond of him that on three occasions he mentioned to the devotees in public that his own body, that is Mahaprabhu's body, belonged to Vasudeva Datta, and that even if Vasudeva Datta wanted to sell his body, that is Mahaprabhu's body, he would be willing to allow himself to be sold. And he said that Vasudeva Datta is such an exalted devotee that if anyone has even the briefest association with him, that person will undoubtedly get the personal protection of Krishna. So why was Mahaprabhu so fond of Vasudeva Datta to the point that he stated that his body belonged to Vasudeva Datta? And he said this on three occasions. The reason is this whole mood of Vasudeva Datta, that he wanted the well-being of others. He felt so deeply for the pain and suffering of the living entities of this world. So one time when he came and asked for a boon, naturally Mahaprabhu could not deny him that, and he was happy to accede to his request. So what is your boon, O Vasudeva? So Vasudeva Datta said essentially that people in this world are suffering very greatly because of their actions in the past. They have committed so many sins in the past, and they have to bear the sinful reactions of that. Sinful reactions come in the form of various kinds of distress and pain. So Vasudeva Datta said, I cannot tolerate to see these people suffering in the material world. So therefore, kindly do me the favor of allowing me to accept the sinful reactions of all the living entities in the universe, and let me go to hell on their behalf. So I will accept their sinful reactions and go to hell, and let them, my Lord, be delivered, and let them go back to the spiritual world. Now, this was such an exceptional request. Now, you know, sometimes when we interact with each other, you know, we may say things that are somewhat similar, but, you know, it is actually hard to feel from the bottom of our heart what Vasudeva Datta was saying. And he was not saying it as some dramatic kind of exaggeration or something like that. He actually felt it. He was speaking from the bottom of his heart. So, Mahaprabhu was astonished to hear this kind of a request. And he says, "My dear Vasudev Datta, so shall it be. You are a great devotee of the Lord. How can Krishna not fulfill your request?" So definitely, all the living entities who are suffering in this world due to their sinful reactions will indeed be relieved of their suffering. Krishna is all-powerful. He is all-merciful. There is nothing that Krishna cannot do. So therefore, if Krishna in one moment wants to remove the sinful reactions of all the living entities in the world, and he wants to deliver them, he can certainly do that. And because you have desired this, he will definitely do it. And take it for granted that he has done it. So all the living entities in this world have been delivered by your mercy, O Vasudev Datta. But at the same time, why should you have to suffer the sinful reactions which the others have accrued? So Krishna is not only all-powerful, but he is also all-loving and all-merciful. And therefore, your request has been fulfilled, but without you having to suffer their sinful reactions. And those whose welfare that you desire will, by Krishna's mercy, become Vaishnavas. And Vaishnavas, according to the scriptures, are relieved of their sinful reactions personally by Krishna. So, this is the most exemplary instance of extraordinary compassion exhibited by a great devotee of the Lord. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in his comments or in his purport, mentions that Jesus Christ appeared in recent human history about 2000 years ago and showed compassion upon the living entities, and he wanted to take the sins of his followers upon himself. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, while that is indeed glorious, but we see in history of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas that Vasudev Datta and Haridas Thakur exhibited compassion that was millions of times greater than that of Jesus Christ. And Vasudev Datta taught the whole world the unlimited nature of the Vaishnava's love. So in this way, Vasudev Datta's compassion for the living entities was exhibited here. Now, can we imitate this? No, it is not possible for us to artificially proclaim or to go tell the Lord that let me take the sufferings on behalf of the whole world. So perhaps we are not quite aware of what it means to take on the suffering of everyone. So yes, we cannot imitate devotees like Vasudev Datta and make artificial prayers like this, but certainly we can pray to have at least a small particle of the compassion that Vasudev Datta had, and that we can dedicate our lives to trying to make the lives of others better. And because of Krishna conscious understanding, we know that the way to make the lives of other people better is to actually bring them to Krishna consciousness. This is Jive Daya. This is real mercy to the living entities. And as far as devotees are concerned, if we can assist them in such a way that their faith and their love for Krishna will increase, then that is also another sign of compassion and love. Since Vasudev Datta's compassion is so exalted, the Acharyas remind us of Prahlad, because Prahlad has appeared in Gaur Leela as Vasudev Datta. Prahlad himself in the Srimad Bhagavatam proclaims or prays to Lord Narasimhadev, Naivodvijay Paraduratyaya Vaitaranyas त्वद्वीर्यगायनमहामृतमग्नचित्तः शोचे ततो विमुखचेतस इन्द्रियार्थ माया सुखाय भरम उद्वहतो विमूढान। Prahlad says that, my dear Lord, even though this material world is such a terrible place of intense suffering and danger, I am not in the least perturbed by it. That is because my consciousness is completely absorbed in hearing and chanting your glories, which is nectar. So because I am constantly experiencing this nectar of your katha, Krishna katha, therefore I am protected from the sufferings of this world. So I am not at all concerned about my own sufferings, but I am lamenting. I do feel the pain, shoche tataha, of those people who are vimukha chetasa, who have turned away from you, indriyartha, for the sake of their senses, maya sukhaya, so who are going after this maya sukha, this illusory happiness, and therefore who have taken on unnecessary responsibilities in this world. So therefore we see that Prahlad doesn't have any sorrow for himself, but he feels sorrow for the sorrow of others. This is the most wonderful example from the Srimad Bhagavatam. And the gopis themselves, in the famous Gopi Gita, you know, they pray, tava kathamritam tapta jivanam kavibiriditam kalmashapaham shravanamangalam srimadatatam bhuvikrinantiye bhuridajanaha. This is a very, very famous verse, which I'm sure we've all heard on numerous occasions. And especially for those who are living in Vrindavan, is chanted in every Kartik month. The devotees get together to chant these wonderful prayers of the gopis to Krishna in from the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So the gopis are praying to Krishna, Tava Kathamritam. The nectar of your katha, O Krishna, is tapta jivanam. It is a life and soul for those who are suffering the pangs of material existence. Tapta indicates very hot, blazing. So people in this world are suffering from the blazing fire of material existence. And this is the only relief, the solace. And that is the nectar of Krishna's pastimes. Kavibhiriditam, and this has been accepted and broadcast all over the world by great philosophers, by great devotees of the Lord. And it can destroy kalmashapaham, it can destroy all the sinful reactions within the heart of the people of this world. Shravanamangalam, it creates auspiciousness and good fortune. Srimadatatam, it is filled with spiritual potency. So the propagation of Krishna's holy names not only destroys the sinful reactions, it not only gives solace and relief to the suffering living entities, it also brings all auspiciousness and good fortune into the lives of everybody. And therefore great personalities distribute this message of Lord Krishna everywhere. Bhuvi grinantiye bhurida janaha. So the one who actually indulges or engages in such activities of distributing Krishna consciousness all over the world is indeed the most magnanimous person, the most compassionate person. So for us, Srila Prabhupada has given us the formula that we practice Krishna consciousness as well as we can, and at the same time we propagate the message of Krishna consciousness to one and all, and that is really the most munificent act, the greatest act of compassion that we can have. Whoever we meet, we should speak about Krishna consciousness. So in this way, compassion has to be understood in all these different aspects. So I'll stop here now. And leave the floor open for any discussion or questions. questions. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Yes, Anarpita Kripamoya Das. Yes, please ask your question.
Hare Krishna, Dandavatna, Maharaj. First of all, my humble obeisances to you. I am very fond of you. I liked very much your lectures. You are my role model. I'm very much inspired by you. So as today, I'm so fortunate, so long. I got the opportunity to hear from you live. Thank you so much, Maharaj, for giving this opportunity to me. So my question is, Maharaj, here, the compassion is the very necessary for a devotee. But due to the hard frame like a steel, my heart is there. And we try to show the compassion also, but the real compassion is not come from my heart, because it is due to so many contaminations are there. When we try to show the compassion, but sometimes some anger, some urge come out, like somebody, we are giving the Krishna consciousness to others, but they are not ready to take, but we want to give them. That is, we don't have a heart like Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada was always so, there was the real compassion. He was bearing, he was tolerating to them. And due to the expertise of Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada could mold them. But I am not expert and I am a still friend person.
Okay, so your question is that you don't feel the compassion naturally in the heart that great devotees like Srila Prabhupada did feel, what should be done? So the answer is, of course, yes, we are not Srila Prabhupada, and therefore we don't feel the same way Srila Prabhupada do in all respects, but we should follow his instructions. As I mentioned in the beginning of this talk today, that there are two things we need to do. One is to continue our hearing and chanting and our regular devotional service with great enthusiasm and dedication. By that, all these transcendental qualities will automatically arise in our heart. And number two, that we should also consciously keep practicing. So whenever we get an opportunity, we should try to cultivate these qualities in our day-to-day life. And in that way, we will see ourselves making advancement. We should not expect overnight miracles. We should also be patient, and gradually, step by step, we will actually experience that these qualities will manifest in our heart. So do not feel discouraged. Just continue with your Krishna consciousness, and everything will happen in due course of time. Yes, the next question is by Yaji Z. Please ask your question.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thanks for the class. You were saying like the compassion should be on the spiritual platform, not the bodily platform. But what if the other person we feel compassion about is not on the same level? Other person is very much situated on the bodily platform, and when we try to be compassionate toward the person actually does not take it very well.
Okay, so the question is that we may want to give compassion on the spiritual platform, but the person to whom we want to show that compassion may not be on that platform and may not even appreciate our attempts. So what should we do? Well, firstly, we cannot force others to do things. The preacher is always very intelligent. And Srila Prabhupada shows us the way of how ways and means can be devised to bestow the compassion of the Guru Parampara and Krishna upon people, even though they may or may not be willing. when Srila Prabhupada started preaching in America, all sorts of people used to come into his talks, but he gave them nice Krishna prasadam, and he called them the ISKCON bullets. So in this way, by taking delicious food, you know, everybody likes it, and even if they don't know what prasadam is or what its significance is, just by taking prasadam, automatically their hearts become more receptive. Also, some discretion and judgment is also required. Perhaps if the person is not ready to receive transcendental knowledge right away, we can deal with that person in such a way that the person will gradually become amenable to receiving this knowledge. If we develop a kind of a relationship with that person where in future that person will not be averse to hearing from us, perhaps the person may ask us questions, and we can always give that person Krishna prasadam. You know, I know of situations where people don't accept it if they are told as prasadam. So then you just give it as your birthday cake, or you give it as whatever you call it, anything. It's just something I had, why don't you have it? So because it's prasadam, that person will be benefited. And ajnata sukriti, unknowingly performed devotional credits, will accrue to that person, and one day that person will come to Krishna consciousness. So compassion does not always mean just bombarding a person with you know, philosophy, or forcing the person to sit and chant japa daily, but it means preparing the ground so that the person may today or tomorrow you know, take to the process. Sometimes it may be a long haul. Sometimes we don't know. Maybe the person is not ready in this life, but we prepare the ground so that the person may do it in the next life. We don't know what time scales are involved here. We just attempt, the rest is in Krishna's hands. And naturally, there are many people who are very receptive, so we can also focus on them. And gradually we will see the results happening, and people will reciprocate. In the very least, we should not become disheartened, because people will react to different ways to our attempts to deliver the compassion of Krishna and the Acharyas to them. But we should not lose our enthusiasm. Okay, thank you. Another question? Probably, yes. Lalita Priti Mai Devidas, yes, please ask your question.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. Maharaj, my question is, like, as we always see the example of Bharat Maharaj in misplaced compassion, but as a devotee, we feel a little compassion for such type when it happens, like when some animal is in, has to be rescued. This happened to me also a few months back, that a small kitten was on the tree, and the four dogs were barking, and it was ready to attack the kitten. So we just shooed the dogs away, we drive it away, and we gave a little milk for the kitten, and it started to live in our house, like on the compound. And it took us a great effort to even shoo away the kitten. So what should be done in this case? So if we see something has to be in help, we should help, or we should just remain silent?
The lessons to be learned from Maharaj Bharat's episode is not that we should be callous, or that we should be indifferent to the suffering of animals. You know, it is very undevotee-like to see a small animal suffering and about to be harmed very grievously by others, and we just sit quiet. So that is not the way a devotee will function. So a devotee will naturally be forthcoming and try to do something to help that little animal. The only caution that we have to have is that we don't become attached, and especially excessively attached, to that animal, And we may do the needful to save that animal in such an emergency or extraordinary situation, and maybe feed that animal Krishna Prasadam. But make sure you don't get attached excessively. Eventually let the cat go away after some time to wherever it will go. So such emergency situations are it's all right to do this. And I think that if we don't do this, that's also not very nice. So we should see it in that way. The lessons to learn without taking things to an extreme. Okay, so I think we have come to the end of our time. It's 8:30. So thank you very much. So Prashanta Mataji, again, all of you in VIHE are doing such wonderful service, and please do continue. I'm sure that so many devotees everywhere are getting benefited, and they have benefited over so many years. So gratitude for the nice service that all of you are doing there, and hope that the activities of VIHE grow from strength to strength. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Hare Krishna, Dharma Pranam Maharaj. Hare Krishna.